Today's sermon is titled, Accept the Freedom and Power That God Gives You. Scripture on which it's based is John 3, 1 through 5 and 14 through 21. Accept the freedom and power God gives you. I remember when I was in graduate school, one of my stints in graduate school was in psychology in Richmond, Virginia. Never finished that degree, but I worked part-time at the place called the Hotel Jefferson in Richmond, Virginia. If you've ever seen the movie Gone with the Wind, you'll know that the staircase in the atrium was the staircase that they used as part of Rhett Butler's mansion. So it was a nice hotel, beautiful atrium, and beautiful decoration and everything. Anyways, I was a banquet server, which was a good thing because it was not as difficult as being a waiter. But the pay was about the same. You got tips, and you got, and you could set your hours. And I remember I learned something, you say counterintuitive or paradoxical, about the business world when I was at the Hotel Jefferson as a banquet server. You see, there were banquet managers that watched over us, and the managers, they came and went. And whenever a manager went and they were looking to replace them with a new banquet manager, they would come to the banquet servers, certain banquet servers, and they'd say, hey, would you consider being a manager? Well, I had been working for probably only several months when one manager left and someone asked me about becoming a manager. And I was touched. I was rather proud, actually, feeling pretty proud of myself, until I spoke to the girl I was dating, who was also a banquet manager, and she said, don't take the job. I also learned that I was one of many that they had tapped on the shoulder for the position of banquet manager, and all had turned it down. So I was not any special worker. I was, more like they were looking for a sucker. Because what happens when you become promoted to a banquet manager is that your hours are longer, your pay actually is less, and everybody hates you. So this didn't make sense to me, just being in the business world. I had always learned that, you get a promotion, you move up, things get better, the pay gets better, the work gets better. But honestly, it doesn't. It gets worse, and the pay actually becomes less. So accepting a promotion really meant a great loss. And I tell you this story because I think it relates to what happens the way we see it, when we truly, truly accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. To accept Jesus is not something to be very proud of, first of all, because what you are accepting is not a free ticket to paradise, but as I mentioned before, you're accepting the freedom and the power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in the world. Now, during our Epiphany worship series, we heard Jesus teach about how he wants us to act, what he wants us to do, and how he wants to change even our way of thinking, because thinking about adultery is the same as committing it. Thinking angry thoughts is the same as murdering someone. And he taught us to treat our enemies lovingly, to pray for those who persecute us. These are requirements that come with the title Christian. But unfortunately, many in the church have rewritten our job description to instead say that some verbal confession of Jesus as our Lord and Savior is the only real requirement. And this motto is, their motto is saved by grace through faith, which they interpret to mean that you can be completely unqualified as employees of God, but as long as we hold the right belief, we keep the job. And that doesn't sound like a very good arrangement to me, and it's not the arrangement that God intends for us. God wants us free and empowered, but we are so reluctant to accept the freedom and the power that God gives us. We're like Nicodemus in this respect. Our gospel story today is about Nicodemus, and he's a well-educated leader in the Jewish religion who comes to Jesus because he has seen Jesus perform these signs, these miracles, things that Jesus has been doing, like healing the sick and fixing what is broken, changing water to wine. Nicodemus recognizes this power that Jesus has as coming from God in its origin. And the problem is that You know, if Jesus were simply doing great things, it wouldn't be so bad, but he's really rocking the boat. He's rocking the religious boat by breaking with custom and tradition, healing on the Sabbath, forgiving when it was believed that only God could forgive sins. In other words, Jesus is acting outside the boundaries as determined by his bosses, by the religious authorities. And that's why Nicodemus himself, a religious authority, came to see Jesus at night, under cover of darkness, so that his colleagues would not discover him. To visit Jesus was to go outside the boundaries that he himself was expected to remain within. But Jesus, acting through the Holy Spirit, is not confined by any boundaries of religion or convention. He's acting with both the freedom and the power that God gave and that God gives us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in the world. This very power can heal the sick and make the blind see and can help the lame to rise up and walk, both physically and metaphorically. You know, people who oppress others are blind to their own transgressions. People who are oppressed are crippled by the injustices that prevent them from actually rising up and living in the freedom that God intends for them to live in. So Nicodemus is in a quandary. As a religious leader and member of the Sanhedrin, he enjoys the freedom and power that his human position has given him, but he is afraid to surrender that freedom and that power in exchange for the true freedom and power that comes from the Holy Spirit. He would be giving up all of his privilege that has been afforded to him were he to openly follow Jesus, an unlicensed preacher and physician from the boondocks of Galilee. And so it is for too many of us today, even in the church. To live the life that Jesus calls us to live involves too much risk for us. We accept the freedom and the power that this world offers us, but both that freedom and that power are constricted by our own fears. Because we are so consumed with protecting the limited power and the limited freedom that we claim for ourselves, we fail to exercise the true power and live the true freedom that the Spirit of God affords us. We're attracted to Jesus, to the things that he says, and more particularly to the things that he does, but we're afraid of what real discipleship might cost us, just as Nicodemus was afraid. That's why I included a few extra verses in our reading for today. You know, the lectionary has us stop at John 3:16, which many of you know and love and cherish, about God so loving the world that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him should have everlasting life. But if you listen to what Jesus says 4 verses later in verse 20, you may hear where I'm coming from. Jesus says, "For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed." And he says that there is judgment upon them. You know, this thing makes the point that it's not what we say that matters most, but it's what we do. We're all too eager to confess in our faith in words, to say Jesus is our Savior and Lord, but when it comes to our deeds, you would really hardly know that Jesus is our Lord. This is why Jesus speaks of being born again or born from above, because the change that needs to occur in us is so radical that it really involves a complete reformation. Nicodemus, an educated Pharisee, should have known what Jesus was talking about when he spoke of being born again. Did he not remember that the prophet Ezekiel had said that God was going to turn our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh again? Did he not remember the psalmist's own plea that God would create in him a clean heart? We're talking about a heart transplant here, which is along the lines of rebirth, which is what Jesus is telling Nicodemus. Unless a person is born anew, he will not see the kingdom of God. He won't even get a glimpse. I think Jesus was truly saddened by Nicodemus's obstinance, as he is saddened by our own obstinance. Jesus wants so much for us to get a glimpse of the kingdom of God, And this is why he speaks to us about the snake on the stick in the wilderness. Jesus says that when he is raised up, like Moses raised up the serpent on the pole in the wilderness, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Not knowing that Jesus would one day be raised on a cross to free us from sin and death, Nicodemus was probably even more confused about what Jesus was telling him. But one day he would understand. Because perhaps our best chance of gaining a glimpse of the kingdom of God comes when we look at the cross where Jesus dies. Perhaps this is where we can see the climax of a life spent in complete freedom, loving according to God's perfect plan. Perhaps it's upon the cross that we see God's true power, the power to love and heal and restore that which is broken. Perhaps it's upon the cross that we can recognize the folly of our own ways, ways that would torture and kill those who would stand in our way of doing things. Perhaps it is on the cross that we see the extent of God's reach as he forgives those who know not what they do. My friends, accepting Jesus ultimately means accepting the power that God offers us to be instruments of his love in this world. That is the Christian vocation. The hours are long and the pay is not much according to the standards of this world. And once we fully accept Jesus as our Lord, we are likely to find it just as difficult as Jesus did to create true disciples of Jesus Christ. But when we fully accept Jesus, we are accepting the power that comes with the Holy Spirit. And it's a power that is capable of and ultimately will transform this entire world. When we make our confession of faith or our baptismal vow, that is what we are accepting.